Checkmate.
This is the Chestnut Checkers Podcast.
Checkmate.
Learn a new mindset to create wealth.
We need to be more independent thinkers, man.
Passive income.
Mathematics is precise.
A successful business.
Chess moves.
And money management strategies.
This is Chestnut Checkers.
We got a pretty good episode, right? So what we're going to talk about tonight, we're going to talk about real estate investment trust. We're going to talk about a lot of things that the way we can make money now, and some of the assets are down because of the pandemic, right? And a lot of people have asked me about to look over, talk about REITs again, because you guys know about 3 months ago I talked about what a REIT is, a real estate investment trust. It's kind of like a stock. You buy it, you get dividends, you receive dividends in return, and the value of the REIT can also go up. So. And there's a lot of opportunity in REITs right now, including apartments and manufactured homes. I'm sorry. So first of all, I'm gonna let you guys ask questions along the way. If you ask a question, I'm gonna I'll repeat it, and then I'll try to give you guys an adequate answer. Right. So what we're gonna talk about tonight is we're gonna talk about a real estate investment trust. But I'm gonna kind of explain it to you guys. And I'm going to see, I want you guys to understand how, great of an opportunity we're in right now. Because if we can go back 6 months ago, when this crisis started, 6 months ago, when this pandemic started, all the stocks dropped, right? And a lot of people were afraid to buy, And then what happened 3 months later, 4 months later, stocks went up back to new time highs, all time highs. And a lot of people were like, oh, man, I missed out. I missed out on an opportunity. Oh, if it ever happens again, man, I promise you, I'm going to do it again. That's what a lot of people are sitting back. That's why it's so important not to sit back on the sidelines. That's why it's so important to have the knowledge before things happen. That's why it's so important to understand these things. So when they happen, you know what's happening. Because a lot of people, a lot of you guys included, got into stocks after it was, after a lot of the prime time was over, which is okay because it's going to happen again. But now that you guys understand it, now you can view and you can take advantage of some things that are happening right now. Right now, I'm gonna tell you right now, one of the best opportunities I've been looking at the last two, other than stocks, because you have to be invest in everything. You got to be diverse. You have to understand that there's different markets out there. When one market falls, another one goes up. They're inverse relationships or whatever. So one market is down a lot right now. Our apartment real estate investment trust. And we talk about these conditions. We talk about market cycles. We talk about things that happen in markets, right? One condition is called an oversell, right? That means when an asset's having problems, it could be a stock, it could be gold, it could be Bitcoin or whatever. People tend to oversell it. And what that means is that people panic and sell it. The price drops lower than it probably should be at. That's when you should actually jump in and start buying it. But there's another opportunity out there. And it's a good opportunity. I've been watching closely. When I find these opportunities, I always share it with you guys because I want you guys to build to critical thinking skills to be able to make the decision on your own. But I like to, we always talk about the sphere of knowledge. We talk about that in my mentorship program. We talk about that in the Chestnut Checkers community. The sphere of knowledge is simple, right? Is that you got, it's two spheres of all the knowledge in the world, right? And the first sphere are things that you know. Inside this first sphere is the things that you know. Everything that you know is in one sphere. Everything that you don't know is in the second sphere, right? And a lot of times we get confused about things. We think that, oh, I don't know how to do brain surgeries in this sphere. No, it's not. But that's still in the sphere of things that you know because you know that you don't know how to do that, right? So things I know how to do. I know basketball. I know tech. I know finance. So those things what don't I know? I don't know how to do brain surgery. I'm not good at fixing cars. I'm not an architect, but these are things that I know that I don't know. That's still in the sphere of things that I know. And then there's an entirely other sphere out there. Things you don't know that you don't know. And that's what's in that sphere, right? That could be 90% of the things in the world. That you're not even aware of these things because you don't even know that they exist. And that's what my job is to let you guys know these things are out there, let you guys understand what's out there. Then you make your own decisions, right? But what I'm doing is I'm moving these things from this sphere into this sphere. And then you guys, I try to build up those critical thinking skills so that you guys can understand what they are and you can add, you can execute on them, right? So there's something out, there's a real estate investment trust. Let's break that down first, then we're talking about the opportunities that are out there, right? Sorry, I got kind of a dry throat today. But a real estate investment trust is a company that owns, operates, or finances real estate, income producing real estate, right? So there are these companies out there, right? So we know that there's one way we get into real estate. And that's the way that everybody always talks about. Buy a house, rent it out, you know, make the money on the, make the return on the money, right? But within that, there's a lot of work. You got to manage the property. You got to fix things, you know, or whatever, right? But there's companies out there. It's kind of like, let's say, you know what a property management company is, but there's companies out there that operate like a company, and they invest all of that money into real estate, right? And then they sell you shares of that company that only invests in real estate. And each one of these companies, each one may invest in one type of real estate. One may invest in commercial buildings. One may invest in skyscrapers. One may invest in hospitals. One may invest in apartment buildings. One may invest in manufactured homes. So these, that's what a real estate investment trust is. It's a group of people who go out and manage real estate. They buy real estate and they manage it. You buy a share of that company and you receive dividends based on how much they generate every month, every quarter, or every year, right? So you're able to buy into that and make money just as if you own those properties, same way. You know, instead of buying an entire, you gotta remember, how do people afford these, you know, $100 million skyscrapers? Well, through things like this. Is that one of these investment trusts may buy the building, they'll split it up in the shares, and people buy the shares. So you'll actually technically own a part of these big buildings or a stadium or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be. So that's what a real estate investment trust is, right? Is that you can own a part of these companies, a part of these trusts. It's really a trust that manage real estate. When they collect their rents, when they sell some of the buildings, when they make money, they give you a percentage back in dividend. Or a profit, right? So you receive a check every month, every quarter, every year, based on how much that company made that year, right? So there's a lot of these out there. It's becoming very, very popular. They got really popular around the 70s, 80s, but now they're becoming a lot more popular, right? But there's an opportunity out there with real estate investment trust. And a lot of them are returning very, very high dividends right now. And the opportunity out there is that we talked about the conditions in the market. We talked about an oversale. People panic and they oversell the company. So right now we're in oversell conditions for one type of real estate investment trust, one particular one that I'm going to share with you guys, right? So I think I already shared this with the people in my mentorship program. So for those of you don't know, the mentorship program is a group of people. And that's they also exist in the Chestnut Checkers room. That's the group that we have. So that group, we engage with each other, we help each other buy and sell stocks. We help each other grow, you know, grow passive income streams and make money. That's a Discord room. You get into that room and a lot of people, you know, somebody put in there today and say, you know, it said that room changes life. You know, somebody just put that in there and he thanked me for that, you know, about an hour ago. So, and then other people in the mentorship program. So what the mentorship program is you get all access to all my classes. I have a real estate investment class also. A real estate investment trust class, sorry. And you get access to all those classes. You get access to the live, the recorded class, and you get access to the roundtable we do every 2 weeks. And that roundtable is where we discuss things like this, ways you can increase your income, ways that you can grow your wealth, ways that you can maybe, because I don't believe 100% in quitting your job. A lot of people say, you know, quit your job, quit your 9-to-5. Now, I don't believe in that 100% because some people in my mentorship program still have their job and they love their jobs. So why not keep it, double your income with something else? You know, that I don't believe in that 100%. Now, some people may want to, some may not to. I don't push that. I don't think that's a smart move for some people. Yeah, unless that's your dream. If that's your dream to do that, then all by all means do it. But everybody doesn't have to do that, right? You can make 2-3 times your money by having one job, making that money, and then making 2-3 times elsewhere. You know, it depends on the person. But with all that being said, let's get back to the real estate investment trust. The opportunity that's out there is, remember we talked about oversell conditions, people panic, they oversell. And you could sell REITs, or REITs, I'm going to call them, you know, real estate investment trust, REITs. You can sell REITs just like you can stocks. So people, when they panic, they oversell these, right? Just like anything else. The one that's out there that's oversold right now is apartment rents. And as the rents that invest in apartment buildings, they're oversold. They're down 24% right now. And it's an oversell condition. And the reason is because people haven't paid their rents for 2 or 3 months. So why would it be that low? It's an oversell. And that's whenever something's oversold that much, there's an opportunity to make some money. We could buy in right now, which I'm going to do. I'm going to buy a little bit. Like, I'm not going to buy a lot of these, but I'm going to buy a little bit. And that's where the opportunity lies, because they're oversold. It's an oversold condition right now. So you can get in there, get at a lower price. Obviously, they're going to come back. Apartments, and people are going to, actually, when there's recessions, people rent apartments even more. So it's going to be a better position. When you get into this position now, in about a year or so from now, all those stocks are going to come back. So the rents are kind of like where we were with the stock market 7 months ago. That's where these rents are right now. So the opportunity doesn't last that long. Maybe a year, maybe 2 years or whatever. I'm sorry, maybe a month, maybe 2 months. And that's it, right? Apartment rents are too much. You're right. But people are going to need apartments, man. And that's just what I believe, that that's a very good opportunity right now. All right. And I'm saying right now there's a temporary loss of income with these rents, and it's a 24-25% average that they're down, right? Now that's ridiculous. That's an oversell. That's a complete overreaction to what's happening right now. And there's a bunch of them, right? I got some written down there. Let me look at the other ones. I wrote down a few of them. Camden Properties, that's one that's real big here in Florida. That's one that's down like 25%. Avalon Bay Communities down 32%. You got Clipper Realty is down 45%. A lot of them are down. CPT is the one. Camden is one. I used to live in a Camden property. I didn't like it much, but but they're pretty cool, I guess. So there's a lot of real estate investor trusts. There's probably a lot of names that you recognize. You know, Avalon Bay is a big one. You know, I don't know. Those are, you can buy them. They're nationwide rents. You can buy them anywhere you want. You don't have to. They don't have to be in a certain place. I mean, you can invest in companies that are outside. You know, it doesn't have to be in a certain place. But get back to what I said is real estate investment trusts are a way to go when you're not, you know, and I'm going to tell you right now is that what I'm doing right now in the next year or so, you guys know I made a lot of money in stocks over the last year. So like I said, more money in the stock market than I made in my life, you know, over the last 8-9 months, you know. And it was because, you know, of all, you know, it was a buildup, right? It was a buildup of knowledge, and I was able to execute on these opportunities when they came along, right? And I was able to see things that a lot of people couldn't see, and it was simply because of education. It was simply because I learned all this stuff over the last 10 years by trial and error, by losing money, by all this stuff. I've lost a lot of money in stocks, and I've also made a lot of money, right? I've made mistakes, and then I learned from my mistakes. And that's what I'm saying. I pass all this stuff down to you guys, and I could, like I said, a lot of people that are in my mentorship program, a lot of people that follow me, I'm able to cut off years of your learning curve, right? Years. Some of this stuff, like I said, I didn't learn about options. It took me 3 years in the stocks. You got to remember, when I was in the stock market, I started around 2005, 2006. I didn't know anybody ever in my entire life that traded stocks. I had no like point of reference for it, none. Nobody I knew traded stocks. The only way I learned about stocks, I knew about them like everybody else knows, but I associated it with rich people, right? I associated it with rich people. I didn't know that, you know, I thought, you know, for rich people, you know, trading stocks, that was something only rich people did. So I got my first job out of college, and I sit down next to this old white dude, right? And he's about to retire. And he was talking about stocks all the time. And I was like, man, you know, his name was Dorian. He, you know, I wish I could contact him because he changed my life a lot. He kind of took me under his wing. And he said, look, Martin, I'm going to show you about, he showed me two things. He showed me about guns and he showed me about stocks, two things that I had no experience with up until then, right? And he kind of took me under his wing. I was young back then. He showed me all about stocks. He told me what they were, told me when to buy. And for a year, man, I was just right under that dude just sucking up knowledge, man, for an entire year. And he told me all that stuff, right? And that's where I learned, that's when I started learning, right? I got him, but like I said, I wouldn't even, if it wasn't for somebody exposing me to that, I never would have known it. I never would have got it. I never would have understood. That was like we talked about the sphere of knowledge. All of the things he was exposing me to was in the second sphere. It was in the sphere of knowledge of things that I didn't even know that I didn't know. So those are things I didn't even know that I didn't know. And he was exposing me to all that. That's why it's so important that a lot of times you got to get out of your circle of friends. And it's more comfortable. It's easier to be in your comfort zone. It's fun. Everybody got things in common with you. But by me hanging around with an older white man, I got exposed to all this stuff I never would have learned otherwise. You know, I was about 26. He was about 60 something. But by me hanging out with him, him telling me stuff, whatever, that's how I got to where I am today. If I would have been, you know, if I would have stayed with my group of friends, if I wouldn't have stepped out there, I never would have learned all that stuff, right? And he was a good man. He was a good man. I wish I could reach out to him and tell him thank you. You know, this is about 12, 13 years ago, maybe 14 years ago, maybe longer than that, that I, during the time that we hung out, when I last saw him. But by me stepping out there, by me being uncomfortable for at first, and we became good friends, you know. And that was the reason behind that was because I was able to step out and you were able to learn more at 26, 27 than I ever would have learned just soaking it up on my own, right? Because back then, you had to have money to trade stocks, right? Because, and I'm going to tell you why, is because back then it was 29 to buy, 29 to sell. So it wasn't as easy as it is today. For example, if I was going to buy stock, right? Let's say I wanted to buy some Amazon stock, $3,000. And I was going to buy one share. Back then, you bought the stock and you had to pay $29 to get into the stock. And then when you sold it, you had to pay another $29. And it didn't matter what stock it was. So if I was going to buy one share of Apple, Apple's what, $130, $140? It would have cost me $60 to buy and sell it. So it wouldn't even been worth it. I would have lost all the money buying and selling the stock. It wasn't until recently to those trading fees went away to almost nothing. Because 15 years ago, it was $29. Both to get into the stock, get out of the stock, you had to pay $30 each way. So that restricted a lot of people from getting into it. How are you going to buy $100 worth of stock when it costs you $30 to get into it? You're not going to do it. It's worthless. It don't even make sense, right? But now you can do it with no fees. Now a lot of people are getting into it. But I started back when it wasn't like this. But that's why it's so important, like we talked about this, because there's things out there right now that I don't know. You know, the things that we know in this world is very, very small compared to everything that's out there. You know, certain stocks were seven. Yeah, I know E-Trade, I think, was $24, $29. It was, because I remember. And it was based on the type of trade you did. I think day trading was higher than long-term trades. I think that's what it was. I think if you bought and sold in the same day, it was more money. It was still expensive. It was like $20-something. I remember. But I don't know what were the conditions that made it $20-something. I think certain stocks, it was something like that. But back to what I was saying. And I think if you had more money in your account, it was like all these, there was different criteria in which the fees were based on. But it was like $20-something, man. It was expensive. Even $8. I mean, let's go back to what Ambitious Hustler said, $8. All right, so let's say you were going to buy one share of Amazon, Apple for $140, $130. That's $16 to get in and out of the stock. I mean, the stock would have to go up 10% for you to break even. You see what I'm saying? Now, 11, 12%. The stock would have to go up 12% just for you to break even if you only bought one share. So that $8 both ways does causes people not to be able to get into it. They don't have a lot of money, right? Even with that small of an amount. But now it's free, so you can buy and sell all day and you can make money. And I think it was based on the amount of money in your portfolio. Because I remember when I first started, I remember it was like $24, $25. And that was, I think it was like somewhere in the 20s. It may have been 29, may have been 20. It was somewhere in the 20s, right? But back to what I was saying, is that it's important to get out of your comfort zones, right? Especially when it comes like real estate investment trust. You guys may have not heard about that, but you heard about it through me, or you heard about it through somebody else. And now your mind can start working. You can start figuring out if that's what you want to do. You may dismiss it. And you got to remember, a lot of things that would come into our life, a lot of ideas that come into, you dismiss most of them. And that's okay, right? You don't have to do everything. But it's best that you know about it, because you're going to need this information later, because sometimes you can compare it to something else. You can use it for something else, especially when people learn about options. That's why I like teaching about options so much, is because when people learn about options, it opens up an entire world of finance to them, right? When they learn about how options work, now all of a sudden they start putting values on contracts. They start putting values on different things in their life. They start actually trading options your whole life. Do a layaway at Walmart. When you do a pre-order on a PlayStation, all of these are options, right? If I go into the store, and that's what a lot of people don't understand, is that option, we do major financial decisions all day long. We just don't call it these things. We don't call them trust and options. We don't call it that, derivatives and all these words, but we do it all the time, right? Every time we stand in line and it's a pre-order for a PlayStation, what do you think you're doing? That's an option. Whenever you buy a pre-order, you pay $29 down. You just bought an option to buy a PlayStation when it comes out. That for a certain day at a certain price, that's what you just bought, an option for a PlayStation. Now, you can decide to execute that option. You can sell that option to somebody else. You can do a lot of things with that. But what you've bought is an option on a PlayStation. That's what it is. Exactly. And then young people can figure this stuff out in their head all the time. Like when my brother was younger, he would wait in line for new game systems to come out, right? So he would get the pre-order. He would wait for the system to come out. He would buy it. Then he would, the next day, he would sell it for double on eBay, right? And nobody would say that was a advanced derivative, what he was doing. What my brother was doing technically is trading options, executing the option, and then selling the options at a higher price. Selling the actual asset at a higher price. Now, if we explain it like that, it sounds like he was a genius. But if we just say, oh, he waited in line, man, got the Xbox, flipped it out to double the money. Oh, man, that don't sound like nothing, right? Oh, come on, man. Everybody can do that. But if you just say, look, man, my brother, he trades in derivatives. What my brother does, he plays options on certain assets and then he executes the options. And then he sells the assets at a higher price once they appreciate. Now that sounds like he's a genius. That's the same thing he just did. That's exactly what he did. But because these words, real estate investment trust, a lot of times we get confused by those. But we realize we've been doing this all our lives in different ways. Especially if you're poor, because you've had to hustle at some point to make things work, right? You've had to borrow from Peter to pay Paul. A lot of times when you're in poverty, your mind has been trained to think like this, but you don't realize what you're doing, right? Because a lot of times in poverty, you have to be creative financially to survive. A lot of times when you're struggling, you have to be creative with the money just to make it through your bills. And we don't realize that we've been taught that those things our entire lives. You raised in poverty. You had to struggle. How did you do that? You've balanced your money. You flipped the money out three or four ways. You put the money here. You saved for this. You've done all the things that we're learning now, just in a different way. And we don't understand that we're doing this, right? And that's why sometimes it takes somebody to explain it in a simple way for you to understand what you've been doing. We all have the talent. We all have the knowledge. We all have the creativity to make money in these financial systems. But we have to remove that mental block, because that's what's stopping us. There's a mental block in our head. We feel like, you know, we can't do this, man. Oh, man, you know, I don't understand this stuff, man. Those are for rich people. That's what we have in our heads a lot of times. But when we can understand that we've been doing all of this our entire lives, then it's a lot easier for you to make money in this system, right? With success, is that people, I go back to what I was saying, is that I do classes at probably two times a month, one time a month, Java classes, programming classes, some stock classes. And so every time I do it, man, 500 people sign up within 2 days. 500 people, right? And then, and, you know, and I'm like, oh, man, because you got to pay for those seats, man. So I got to pay for that. I got to pay 500 seats to do that webinar, which is okay. I don't mind it. And then every time the class starts, about 100, 150 people show up. So 350 people don't even show up. That means out of that class, 70% of people don't even show up at all, right? And then that's an example of how success is, right? Because a lot of times, opportunities all around us. And the vast majority of people won't even step up. So the first step of being successful is easy. You just got to step up, stop being scared, and step up where most people won't. Just take that step forward, because 80% of people won't even step up. And that's true, right? 80% of people won't step out of their comfort zones. 80% of people won't even do the bare minimum for success because they're comfortable. They don't want to shake the boat of what they got. They don't want to get outside of the friends they have. They don't want to maybe have to make some changes in their life. They don't want to have to maybe learn something new. They don't want to maybe have to change the way they've been thinking all their lives. They don't want to do that. That's hard. That's hard to most people. They don't want to do it. So a lot of people won't do it. They refuse to. So if you take that step, most people won't do it. You will. So now you're already light years ahead of most people, right? And then it does get hard after that to actually be truly, truly successful. Yeah, you're going to have to work. You're going to have to hard. You're going to have to study. You're going to have to maybe take some losses along the way. But the first step is easy because most people don't even want to get anywhere near that. Right? And I'm going to tell you a story because what's called James brought it up. So I'm going to tell you a story. And this is one of my favorite stories that I like to tell, right? It's because, and you guys know that when I was in college, undergrad, I studied computer science. And I also studied Latin American history. So, and that was one of my favorite subjects, Latin American history, how Latin America was conquered, how Spain conquered Latin America, about the natives that were there before, the Aztecs, Incas, the Mayas, how they lived, how the Boricuan people in Puerto Rico, how they lived before European conquistadors came over, right? I love that stuff. I love the origin of the language, right? How Spanish came over, how it was changed depending on what the natives there spoke, how Catholicism was changed based on where the Spanish landed. They had to change Catholicism. Like in Mexico, Catholicism is a little different than, let's say, Puerto Rico. They do this, but they had to do this because of the native people that were there, right? But one of my favorite stories is Hernando Cortez, right? And I know some people have negative feelings toward the conquistadores, but I don't want to talk about, the politics behind it or whatever, but let's just talk about one particular story. So when Hernando Cortez landed in Latin America, now Hernando Cortez was one of the major conquistadors. He's one of the people that the main dudes that conquered Latin America, right? So he showed up with his ships with 100 and something men, right? And all the, all the armor, the weapons, whatever, he's going to take over. He's going to do a march from the coast to Mexico City, and he's going to try to take over Mexico, right? So he gets there, right? All the ships are filled with animals, food. The beds are still on the ships. Everything's on the ships that the men can need for months and months and months. So when he gets to the shore, he gets there from Spain, a three-month journey, gets to the shore, the ship's out in the ocean. So for the first few months, they would take little rowboats, go to the coast, and explore out into the coast, and they come back, get back on the ships. Next day they do the same, get back on the ships. Next day they do the same. Over time, these men became comfortable. They didn't want to really go too, as long as they could see the ships out there, they were comfortable. So whenever Hernando Cortez tried to push them a little more, they were like, nah, man, let's just shut it down for the day. Man, let's just go back to the ship. Let's go back to the ship. Because they were comfortable on those ships. The ships had food, water. The ships had all the liquor they wanted. It had beds. They could play games there. They had entertainment. The men didn't want to leave. So over time, Hernando Cortez tried to get angry at them. They wouldn't do it. He tried to convince them with gold. They wouldn't do it. So one day, him being the captain, he decided he has to burn the ships. So he got all the men off the ships. He says, I'm going to burn it with all the food, all the water, all the entertainment, all of your beds, and we're going to be stuck with nothing. Burnt the ships. Now the men own the coast with nothing. They're forced to go inland. They're forced to conquer Mexico. They're forced to, if they're not gonna go in, they're gonna die. They gotta go conquer, they gotta get food, they gotta get water, they gotta build. They gotta build a new civilization. Or die on the coast. So that's what happened. They moved forward and they went and conquered everything, right? So the reason why they were able to do that is because they burned their ships. They had to get rid of their comfort zones. They had to exterminate that. Because if they didn't, they would stay on those boats forever. And it would actually cost them, because if they stayed there forever, it would have been worse on them than burning the ships in the first place. So that's one of my stories I like to tell. Now, like I said, that's a charged subject, Fernando Cortez, the natives or whatever. Yeah, you know, I know that that's a politically charged subject, right? But I'm trying to look at it just objectively and just talking about what happened, and that's it. You know, so I'm not going to get into whether it was right or wrong or whatever like that, because I'm just talking about what happened. It's a point in time. That's what happened. And that's what caused the, that was the events that happened afterwards. So that's why it's so important to get ready, get out of your comfort zone, because if not, you will be sitting there forever with your friends, with your comfort, with your food, whatever. A lot of times you need, that's why it's so important for you to tell everybody. That's why I'm a firm believer is that when you start a new business, tell everybody. And a lot of people say, I don't want to do that. You know, I want to keep it quiet. What if I fail? I don't want people talking about me. Well, it ain't about them. It's about you. It's not about them. It's about you. That's it. So if you tell everybody, you're forced to do well then, because now you're going to, if you don't do well, if you don't, you told everybody I'm doing this. Now you're forced to do it. You got to go out and conquer. You got to go out and make what you said a reality, because now everybody knows. It's a way to get out of your comfort zone. You put yourself on Front Street. Now you got to do it. And a lot of people say, well, I don't want to tell anybody. I don't want people hating on me and stuff. But that's a way that you can, that's still a way to stay within your comfort zone, right? That's still a way to do that. Stay in your comfort zone. Nobody knows. So it's not going to be a big deal if I fail. No, tell everybody. If I'm starting this new business. Tell everybody I'm starting this new website. Tell everybody I'm going to sell this online. Tell everybody. Now, don't brag. That's the difference. Don't brag. Don't say I'm this and that. Now, you can tell everybody what's wrong with that. Now, if you wait. Now let's say you wait to tell everybody, right? So I'm not going to tell everybody till it's finished, right? Now, you don't have, you're still in your comfort zone until it. Now, you may not even have the pressure to finish it. Now, if you tell everybody, look, man, you go out and tell 10 of your friends, I'm going to have this site done by December 31st. Now, they're going to ask you, hey, man, you done with the site? You got that kind of accountability from people. But that's what a lot of people say, you know, I move in silence. Moving in silence in some cases is a way to opt out of accountability. Moving in silence is because you don't want nobody to know. And I'm not saying brag. I hate braggers. But you can tell everybody. You can tell your mom. You can tell your brothers. You can tell your other significant others, I'm doing this and I'm going to have this done by this date. And that's, it's going to be done. Right now you got that accountability from your peers to make you do it. And a lot of times in life is that can be the difference between success and not success, is that accountability. Somebody holding you accountable, because a lot of people have ideas. A lot of people, man, everybody got an idea about a business. Everybody got two ideas. Everybody probably got three. Everybody got ideas about businesses. Almost everybody. You can run into, you can throw a rock into a crowd and maybe hit four or five people with ideas. And that's what I'm saying. A lot of people got ideas. That's nothing. The implementation of ideas is where the value's at. But how are you going to make yourself accountable? Well, you got to tell everybody. That's the only thing you could do. If you don't have no money, if you don't have no money, you got, the only thing you got really is the accountability. And your drive to get things done. That's all you got at the beginning. And you gotta be able to, sometimes you gotta push yourself to get things done. With that, you can tell everybody. And then you know that if I don't finish this, I'm gonna be embarrassed. If I don't finish this, I'm gonna look like a failure. So I gotta do it, right? And it pushes you to complete things and do things, right? If you tell everybody, look, man, I'm starting school, I'm gonna be a lawyer in 4 years. Well, now you got to do it. You done told everybody. So now you got to do it. You got to finish it or you're going to look like an idiot. But if you're quiet about it, I'm not going to tell anybody, man. So if I fail, nobody's going to know anyway. I mean, it's up to you, I guess. But I don't believe in that because everybody should know because now you're accountable, right? Because a lot of times when you're by yourself, you got to remember. A lot of times when you're beginning in entrepreneurship, a lot of time when you're starting out, nobody's there with you. And that's the sad part of entrepreneurship sometimes is that some at the beginning, in most cases, you got to do it on your own. A lot of times God will send somebody else along the way, but a lot of times you got to start yourself. So it takes an incredible amount of motivation, an incredible amount of drive to get these things off the ground. Because a lot of times most people are not going to believe you. Most people are going to laugh. Some people laugh at you. So nobody's going to want to even try with you because everybody else got their own stuff going on. Nobody even wants to join up with you. A lot of times these people come later. They come along later. But at first, nah, man, you're by yourself. So a lot of times you got to come up with ways to motivate yourself, to drive yourself to greatness, to make yourself do better things, right? And that's one way is make sure everybody knows, make sure you have that accountability out there and everybody's going to push you, even if they don't even know that they're doing it. They're a part of your team. You tell somebody, I'm going to make a way, man, even if you tell a hater, and that's what people don't understand. You tell somebody that doesn't like you, a hater, and you notice a hater, look, man, I'm going to have a website. I'm going to sell shirts. I'm going to sell purses by January 1st. Now, that hater is going to be one of the main people that's going to keep track of it and say little stuff. You know, where's the site? Where's the site? Where's the site? So you can use a hater's hate against him, against themselves, right? You can use a hater's hate to drive you to do stuff. Let the hater know. Somebody like, I don't want haters knowing. I don't want them knowing about it. Let them know. Because now they're going to be helping you out by keeping you accountable because a hater ain't got nothing else to do but watch the calendar, watch the clock, watch what you're doing. So they're, in turn, are helping you. They're the ones that's going to ask you, where's the thing? And where, like maybe mess you on Instagram or whatever. Where are you doing? What are you doing? Are you done yet? I thought you was going to be done. That hater's hate is going to be what's driving you. They're going to be the ones that are keeping you accountable, watching you. Making sure you got this stuff done. Let them know. Let everybody know. So when now you got a team of people who will hold you accountable. And there's nothing wrong with that. You fail, man. Then move on to another one. There's nothing wrong with that. If you do fail, it's not really. And the thing about it is that even if you do fail, which I don't believe in failure. I believe in growth. Learning and moving on, but let's just call it fairy because that's how some people view it. Let's say you do fail. Well, you got to understand, you got to realize how to get over that because people don't matter. The haters don't matter. People around you don't matter. And you got to learn how to get over that because it's going to, may happen again and again and again before you actually get success. There could be copycats. Somebody just asked a question, said, then could there be copycats following behind you and doing what you're doing? Well, the thing about it is that anything can be copied. So it doesn't really matter. It's very few ideas on this earth that are so exclusive that nobody can copy them. Anything. I can copy Facebook right now. And I can have a Facebook up tonight. But the value is not in the idea. It's the execution of the idea. Now, they can't get into your brain. They don't know how you're going to execute it. Now, they can see what you're doing. If you start like a clothing line, they can see everybody. You can see a clothing line. You know what they're doing, but they can't get into your head to figure out what the execution of that is. And that's the value. The execution of the idea. Ideas don't matter. This is an example I always give people in my mentorship program when they ask me about it. Because a lot of people get confused about ideas versus execution, right? Ideas are cheap. Everybody got an idea. Ideas don't matter. I'm going to tell you right now, is I got an idea today. I got an idea that could make me billions of dollars. I got an idea that an idea is a flying car. That's my idea, a flying car. Now, why is that idea worthless? Now, the idea is worth, it's a great idea. Flying cars, man, that would change the world. But the reason why is because I can't make that a reality. I don't have the technical know-how. I don't have the group of people, the team, the facilities to build a flying car. So I don't care how much I know. I that's my idea, but I can't make it. So even if your hater does know, they don't know what's going on in your head. They don't know the execution. They don't know your strategies. You got to keep that secret. Don't go around telling people your strategies. But the idea itself is worthless. Anybody can copy your idea. I mean, Instagram copies ideas all the time. Half of Instagram right now is all copied. What we're doing right now is live. That was copied from Telescope? It was some website. They basically wiped them out. It was a company. It was an app about 5-6 years ago called Telegram. Now it was like Telescope. I forget the name of it. But all they did is you were allowed to go live on that app. And Instagram just took it, integrated in Instagram, and that was it. That company went Periscope. That's it. Company's no longer around. And what about, look at TikTok. Instagram just took TikTok's idea, integrated it, and called it whatever they call it. I forgot what they call it, but it's something. So what about stories? They stole that from Snapchat. So these are all ideas, but the idea don't mean nothing. People can take your ideas, and that's what's so sad. But the implementation, the strategy, all the things behind it, they can't take that. So a lot of times you can't put too much effort into protecting an idea because somebody can steal it all day. It's nothing you can do about it. But you protect the strategy, you protect your implementation of that idea. You can't even copyright an idea. It's illegal. I mean, not illegal, but it's impossible. You can't patent an idea. You can only patent your implementation of that idea. That's it. Vine, yeah, Vine's gone now because they copied Vine. I mean, they took Vine. So that's it, right? Like I said, I hope you guys have a great night. If you have any questions, message me. If you want to join any of those communities, message me. Hope you guys have a great night.